On a tour, she said, well, preach. The baby boomers are turning 60 this year. They've talked about them baby boomers now since 1945, but they are turning 60. And the baby boomers are filling up the country. They are coming of age. They will be the elderly. They are the age. And the respect for the elderly and the appreciation of the elderly is getting worse in America. It really is. So with that thought, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Beginning in verse number 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And they said unto him, behold, thou art old. They didn't say that with respect. Behold, thou art old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, not that he was old, but they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should reign over them. And look, over in chapter 12, in one verse of Scripture, in verse number 2. And now behold the king. This is Samuel talking. And now behold the king walketh before you. I am old, gray-headed. Behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Hannah's weaned baby boy is now an old man. I am old and gray-headed, he said. And I've walked before you from my childhood. I bet Samuel thought right then, my, how time flies. For you see, all of a sudden his whole life, from the time he was a child to now, an old gray-headed man, it must have all flashed in front of him. And I bet it didn't seem but just a couple of days. You see, to an old man, everything is yesterday. Everything just yesterday to an old man. I found out we were raised in that children's home up in Parker County. My wife and I, and there was an old man up there. He wasn't old at the time, but his name was Davis Newsom. And he was in charge of the cow barn, and, and the calves, and a lot of us boys that worked under him, we always thought he was rough and always thought he was hard and always correcting us, and we'd squabble back and forth. And anyway, I left the home in 1967, and I just found out a couple of months ago that he's still alive. And he's 90 years old. And we had a little gathering up in Weatherford back in November, and Marianne and I, when we left that little gathering, we went through Fort Worth, and we found that little assisted living center. And I knocked on his door, and I stepped inside, and he stood there, and he just looked at me, just stared at me. And I said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No." I said, "I'm Daniel Matters." He almost fainted. I mean, his knees buckled, and he leaned up against the door. And before he ever left, he looked at Marianne, and he said, "This boy gave me so much trouble." But we sat there, and we sat in that little old room with him and talked for over an hour. And I'm telling you, his mind kept going back to 1935, to the day that he married Ethel. She made all the biscuits for us boys growing up. But it was like yesterday. He couldn't remember who called. He couldn't even remember that his daughters had called him the day before. His mind went back to 1935. And he talked about working all day and taking his money and getting in this little old car and driving to pick up Ethel. And they were going to go get married. And he got so tired and sleepy, he couldn't drive. And he gave the car to her. And she drove over the railroad track too fast, blew out all the tires. And they had to spend the money on getting tires. And they couldn't get married that day. But he recalled that day just like it was, like he was just yesterday. He'd sit there and he'd talk a while, and then he would go, "Well." And then he'd talk a while, and then he'd go, "Well." You see, to an old man, everything is just yesterday. You see, it was just yesterday to Samuel that Hannah, his mama, took him down to that temple and dedicated and gave him to God. He could remember as a child when Hannah took him up there and left him before the Lord. It was just yesterday when Mama came year after year and would make him those little coats. It wasn't but yesterday. It wasn't but yesterday that he remembered hearing the Lord speak to him that night when he said, "Samuel, Samuel." It wasn't but yesterday when he heard, when he seen the Lord come and stand before him. And you can forget a lot of things in life, but there's some of those experiences that you'll have with God that you'll never forget. You'll forget things, but you'll never forget that day that you got born again. You get Brother Roger Pounds took me over to a nursing home in DeLeon years ago, and there was a lady way up in her 90s whose mind was in and out, but she told us over and over about that day that she walked down that aisle as a 12-year-old girl and knelt down behind that piano, and her mother come up there and knelt down beside her and put her arms around her, and I mean 5 minutes later she's telling us the same story again. And you may forget a lot of things, but you never forget the day that the Lord saved you. You'll never forget the day that the Lord called you to preach. Boy, you talk about a wonderful day. You'll never forget that day that the Lord touched you in some meeting and laid that hand on you, and that inside just filled up and flowed over. You never forget those times with the Lord. To Samuel, it wasn't but just yesterday when the burden of the country was laid upon him. He submitted unto the Lord and he served him, and he preached from city to village all over Israel. Now he's an old man. And there's only 7 chapters in his life. We see him as a young man, we see him as a child, and 7 chapters later, he's an old man. And life is just one chapter after another. And you're young today, but it's just going to be a couple of more chapters and you're going to realize how time flies. The elders had been watching Samuel closely. This wasn't the first day that they had noticed Samuel. And I'm sure probably in some fellowship or some Bible conference or some prayer meeting, one of them elders looked at the other one and he said, Samuel's not looking good these days, is he? He's looking tired. Have you noticed how old he's looking? He doesn't speak as long as he used to speak. Remember when he could just get up and preach for hours? He's tired. He tires so quickly. Have you noticed how he just takes his time now? And the other elder said, doesn't walk as far as he used to walk. Remember when he used to be in 3 villages in a day? Remember when he could be in 3 cities in a day and preach in each one of them? His steps are shorter. He's starting to totter. He's holding on to things now, and I've noticed that he sits a lot. He doesn't stand every time that the congregation stands. Another one of the elders said, his mind's not quite as sharp. Have you noticed he's not as quick as he used to be? He forgets my name. He looks at me and he says, now what's your name? Have you noticed how he repeats himself? The other one said, have you noticed how short he gets with us? The other elder, the last one, said, his hearing's playing tricks on him too. Cups his ear. Have you ever noticed how he just stares and looks at us like we're stupid? It's not that we're stupid. He just evidently doesn't hear us. You see, Samuel is an old, gray-headed man now. A visitor from another time. He looks around now and he said, I wonder where my world went. I wonder where are them old times and the old way of doing things. I wonder where they're all gone. Just seemed like yesterday when we used to do it this way, and now it's so different. Times are just not what they used to be. He's a relic from a former age. And his presence reminds us that the world is constantly changing. And it won't be long. We're going to be old people, old men. See, old furniture is of greater value than this new stuff. That old furniture is tougher. That old furniture is better quality. That old furniture just, it was made better to last longer in the old days. Made of harder wood. Made of wood. It becomes more valuable with age. Samuel, the old gray-headed man now, he's in an advanced state of age. It's the way the dictionary described old. He's in an advanced state of experience. For some reason today, we don't look at the age as being experienced. We don't seek them out for advice and wisdom and thought and counseling like the old generation used to. We don't go to them now in this advanced state of age. That advanced state of experience, they're more experienced in wisdom because of the age. More knowledge. And the years had begun to steal the fire from his mind. And the years had begun to take the strength from his arm. And the years had begun to take the quickness from his legs. And the years was taking the thunder from his voice. Spring and summer don't have the beauty of autumn. You don't find America going up to the northeast during the spring and summer. They go up in the autumn because it's prettier. All the leaves have changed colors. They go up in the autumn. Stars shine brighter as the day wears on. But Samuel, he is an old gray-headed man. Samuel has still got God on him. All they see is just an old man. That's all they see. That old man's got God on him. You'll never find it written that the Lord spake to the elders. It doesn't say in there that the Lord spake in the ears of the elders. But you'll find it saying that the Lord spake to Samuel. And it says that the Lord spake in the ears of Samuel. That's getting pretty close. You see, God will trust a young man with His word. You trust an aged old man with his voice. I often wonder sometimes, and you'll just have to just blame it on my mental illness. I often wonder sometimes, I'm a little skeptic when somebody says that the Lord talks to me all the time. The Lord said, told me this, and the Lord told me that, and the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. That rules out faith. George Whitefield, when he was a young man, aggravated every aged preacher up in the Northeast and in England. Because he was always saying, the Lord told me to say this, and the Lord told me to say that, and the Lord impressed me, and the Lord said this. And he was preaching for Jonathan Edwards when Jonathan Edwards was an old man. And he got up in Edwards' church and he said, the Lord impressed me. And after that service, when Edwards was sitting down at a table with Whitefield, he said, you're going to find out, young man, that all them impressions that you claim to come from the Lord, they're not coming from God. Whitefield didn't believe him. Wasn't too long after that, his wife Elizabeth gave birth to a little boy. Whitefield stood in his tabernacle over in England. And he told 4,000 people that God had spoke to him that little boy was going to grow up to be as mighty as John the Baptist. The boy died 10 days later. You see, when Samuel walked in, you could see God walking in with him. We miss that. Them old men, when they walked in, God just seemed to walk in with them. Young men walk too fast. God has a hard time keeping up with them. That's why God is likened to an old man, because they just don't get in a hurry. When Samuel talked, you could hear God talking to you. One illustration of that, when Felix is sitting on the throne over in the book of Acts and Paul is reasoning with him. Paul's not even preaching, he's just reasoning. All of a sudden, Felix starts trembling. Now, if you'll watch the scene, why you want to tremble before a man that's standing there being guarded and chains on? He's not a threat to your life. He's standing there with all them in bondage and chains and guards. Why, he couldn't do nothing to Felix. And Felix is sitting there trembling. Why? Because when that old man spoke, God spoke. You hear a lot of people preaching today, and it's just... It's enlightening, but when them old men used to speak, you could feel God speaking to you. You could feel it down in your heart. When Samuel preached, you could feel God in the room. When Samuel got up in a pulpit, you could tell by just the way he walked into the pulpit. It reminded you of God. You just thought of God. Just the way that he carried his Bible. It reminded you of God. Just the way he opened that Bible in a pulpit, you thought of God. Just the way that he read that old text, you could almost hear God. And the way that he prayed, well, you would think God was listening to him and fixing to talk back to him. You see, preachers can't imitate that. Young preachers, we can't imitate that. We got to wait on that. You let a man get God on him, and before long, everybody's imitating him. They imitate the way that he talks, they imitate the way that he walks, the way he carries his Bible. But you can't imitate this. Saul went to that witch of Endor, and he wanted to talk to Samuel. He asked that witch of Endor, he said, would you bring them up? And that Bible said that the grounds opened up and they come ascending out of the earth. And it scared that witch. And he said, who is it? And she said, it's an old man with a mantle. Saul said, "That's Samuel. That's Samuel. He's an old man with a mantle." You see, the elders of Israel didn't want an old man with a mantle anymore. Them elders didn't want an old man had a mantle. They didn't want it. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the nations. They wanted to be like all the other religions. They wanted to be like the whole world. They didn't want an old man with a mantle. They wanted a king. And it wasn't God that wanted to change. Malachi says, "I'm the Lord, I change not." Paul even said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. It wasn't God that wanted change, it was Israel. Israel didn't want an old man with a mantle anymore. They didn't want an old man with a mantle with loaded words that never hit the ground. You say, where did them words hit? They didn't hit the ground. They hit in your heart. You ever wondered what that is sometimes? It makes that pounding in your heart and that knot in your throat and that sweat on your forehead, that grip on your hands. That's those words of God that gets down in our heart. They didn't want an old man with a mantle with loaded words. And if you don't think God can't make you uncomfortable, then ask Jonah for a testimony. All it says is the word came to Jonah, and he got very uncomfortable. He didn't want an old man with a mantle that could light the fires in the temple for everybody to see. They didn't want an old man with a mantle that could listen and hear God. They didn't want an old man with a mantle. They'd look into the heavens and draw down the thunder and smite the people with a fear for Samuel and the Lord. People didn't want a man that they feared. They wanted a man to love. They didn't want to fear him. I'm telling you, when Samuel came to town, they trembled. They didn't want an old man with a mantle come limping into Bethlehem with the sacrifice of blood on the end of the looking for David, somebody to anoint. And I love that text that those people said when Samuel came into Bethlehem looking for Jesse's house, those people said, "Comest thou peaceably?" You talk about a text to preach. Listen, if you've been in this thing a while, isn't there some men in the days of old when they got ready to preach, you were thinking, "Oh my God, what's he going to say? Going to preach peaceably? Are you going to be nice?" They didn't want an old man that had a sacrifice of blood in his hands. They didn't want an old man with a mantle that could take a sword and cut at the enemy of God in a bloody, crude, violent method. To them, a sword was for show, not to cut. They didn't want an old man with a mantle with a loud voice that could see God. You see, to the elders, the old must be sacrificed for the new. That's what the elders wanted. They were tired of that old way. That old worship, that old preaching, they were tired of it. They wanted to sacrifice the old for the new. A king. We want a king. We want a champion. We want a leader. I've got a lot of thoughts on these leadership conferences, but you really don't want to hear them. They wanted a king, not a prophet. They wanted a king. They didn't want a preacher. They wanted a leader. They wanted a champion. Saul was a leader. Samuel was a pastor. They're different. They wanted a king with pomp and color. They wanted a king with a fancy chariot and dancing horses. They wanted a king with uniformed guards and beautiful palaces. They wanted a king with blaring trumpets and bright robes and jewel crowns. They wanted a king with bright silver and shining gold. They wanted a king who had a dress queen with her sparkling jewelry. They wanted drama. They wanted a drum roll. They wanted red carpet. They wanted an organ. They wanted a stage with a chandelier. They wanted a throne. They didn't want a pulpit. And they knew better than to ask Samuel. They knew better than to ask Samuel if he would be a king. He was never going to step down to be a king. He was never going to trade that mantle for a robe. Never was going to trade a mule for a chariot. Wasn't going to trade the church house for a White House. He wasn't going to trade his pulpit for a throne. He was never going to take the title of king. He'd rather keep the title prophet. He'd rather keep the title preacher. I've been told 100 times with a little mockery and insult, that's all right. They said, all Dan is a preacher. He is nothing else. Don't let him work on your car. Don't let him take you fishing. Don't turn him loose in places where you can break things. You see, they tried to make Jesus a king, and he said, no. He departed. I don't want to be a king. And when they did make him a king, he was on a cross when they put the title up over his head. He wasn't a king until he was on the cross. The elders did not know what they were asking. The elders didn't know what they were losing. They didn't know what they were losing when you lose an old man of God. The elders, they wanted to look good. The elders wanted to feel good. They wanted to look up at him and be so proud of him. Samuel was driven to his knees when they had him. And he was filled with anger. And when he went to his knees, you can almost feel that he wanted to just rebuke them sharply and fiercely. But the Lord said, no, no. Hearken to them. If that's what they want, we'll give it to them. If they don't want a prophet, if they don't want a preacher, if they don't want a pastor, we'll give them a king. It's not you, Samuel. It's me. I'll show them what's going to happen to them once they get a leader. Their sons are going to be fighters. And they're not going to be men of faith. That's what he told Israel. He said, you want Saul to be a king? He'll be a king. But let me tell you what's fixing to happen to your boys. They're not going to be men of faith. They're going to be fighters. And your daughters are not going to be servants of the Lord. They're going to be cooks. You see, Samuel had a school to teach men, those young men, faith. But Saul had a school to teach them to fight. And you can tell that our land today just doesn't have many old men of God, because all the young men want to do anymore is just fight. They want to get in the pulpit and just fight everything. Because there's no old men to teach them faith. They're not going to know what it's like to ever have an old man with a mantle. If you've never had one, all I can say, I just feel sorry for you. Never had an old man with a mantle that could just, can't nobody talk like them. Can't nobody speak to young men like an old man with a mantle. Can't nobody touch them like an old man with a mantle. Can't nobody reach out there and lay hands on them like an old man with a mantle. Samuel was an old man with a mantle, and he brought the people and God together. But Saul was a leader, and he brought the people together unto himself.
God.
Jesus was going to come one day. And when he came, here's what he said. He said, no man also having drunk old wine desireth, or straightway desireth new. If you've ever drunk that old wine, you don't want no new wine. If you ever done it that old way, you're just never going to be satisfied with a new way. If you've ever experienced that old way, you're just not going to be settled in the new way. Then he said, the old is better. He said, the old is better. You see, we're in a sad transition today. It's not that we're losing Christianity. You can't kill Christianity. They couldn't kill Christ. They can't kill Christianity. They couldn't put him in a tomb and seal him up and just wish him away, wish he'd never been, and stop him. Then there's no way to get rid of Christianity because it's got divine life in it. We're not losing the Bible. Well, that word forever settled in heaven and earth. How can you lose a Bible when it's forever settled there and here? We're not losing the church. We're not going to lose the church. I don't care who takes over, what laws they pass. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I'll tell you what we are losing. We're old men with a mantle. And if you've ever tasted one, you never desired nothing else. You see, in losing old men with a mantle, we're losing that old preaching. Nobody can say it like an old man can. You just can't do it. You can't imitate it. You can't say it like old men say it. God gave us Samuel's sermon in chapter 12, and it's a classic. And you can go down there and you can take every message that Samuel preached and you can come off that sermon. But if you put it in a little outline, he begins by saying, hey, you've just forgot God. He said, you forgot God, and because you forgot Him, He has sold you into the hand of an enemy. He said, He's forsaken you. You've sinned. Plain, simple. No, it said the two things that characterized Samuel's preaching, they said he protested solemnly, that he reasoned with you. This old man had a way of saying it young men don't have. And instead of resenting him, they humbled himself. Samuel said the freedom that you could enjoy from the Lord, said you've just lost it because you've rebelled against His commandments and His hands against you. That was Samuel's sermon. But you see, Samuel not only had a sermon, but Samuel had a sword. And that Bible said that he hewed Agag to pieces. You see, the president Saul wasn't going to hew Agag to pieces. And the politicians, the elders, well, they're not going to hew Agag to pieces. They're not going to cut up the enemies of the people. They're not going to cut up the enemies of God. They're not, the people wouldn't do it. The politicians wouldn't do it. The president wouldn't do it. And the polite priests and ministers wasn't going to do it. They were not going to cut Agag up. So Samuel got a sword and hewed the enemy of God up before the eyes of the children, before the eyes of the women, before the eyes of the young man, he took a sword and cut him up. If you take the word hew and look it up, it means to carve as a sculpture. Which means he done it smooth and sharp and simple. A young man is going to hack him all to pieces. That's what he's going to do. He's just going to hack him up. But that old man, he going to take... He didn't hack him up. The head was severed over here, one stroke. Arms dissected over here, two strokes. Legs removed over here, three strokes. Torso sliced up over here, four strokes. It was a four-stroke outline, job finished. Didn't take him long. And you knew when Samuel got through with him, he was dead. How to dissect an enemy of God in four strokes by an old man. But you're going to miss when the old men are gone. You miss that old preaching. You're going to miss the old praying. Nobody can pray like an old man. Nobody can pray like an old man. It's just something, there's some kind of life or some kind of experience or just something there when they pray. I cannot recall prayers that Brother Jack said through the years, but I can still hear him say, Father. Nobody can say it like it. You see, when them old men pray, they're talking to God. Samuel heard that the people wanted a king. He didn't rush out to rebuke them. He didn't rush out to reprimand them. He didn't rush out to reprove them. The Bible said Samuel rehearsed it in the ears of the Lord. Young man's going to get his sword and he's going to cut everybody's head off. The old man's going to get close to God. When you take that word rehearse, that's getting pretty close when you get in the ears of God. That old man can get close, and he didn't inform God. You see, a young man will just holler as if he's trying to inform God. But that old man, he get up in his ears and rehearse it. That means they talk back and forth. He talks, and then he waits for God to answer. Us young men don't pray like that. We tell God in 30 minutes everything's wrong with everybody in the whole country. He knows. Samuel rehearsed it in the ears of the Lord. He had a conversation. He spoke, waited for an answer. He had patience before God. You can tell that you're missing that today. The old man Samuel took his praying serious. Prayer times of Samuel was a serious time. He says, God forbid that I sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you. He didn't say, God forbid I sin against the Lord and preach to you. An old man knows that praying does as much as preaching. We think it's all preaching. An old man knows praying is as important as preaching. When Samuel failed and Samuel sinned, when Saul failed and Saul sinned, Samuel didn't get up and preach a message against him and about him. Prayed all night for him. Didn't go out and talk about him. Prayed all night long. Saul fought the enemies all of his day. That's what it says of the leader. He fought the enemies all of his day. But Samuel, he called on God and the thunder fell. And what it took Saul and 3,000 men to do, Samuel done with one prayer and call upon God. Samuel's praying did as much as Saul's fighting. And we had rather fight the enemy from a pulpit than to pray against the enemy in a closet. Because we can be heard in the pulpit. And we just kind of nobody in the closet. God knows how to fight this enemy a lot better than you and I do. We'd rather get up and fight and tell everything wrong with them Muslims, but only God knows how to fight them Muslims. God can do much more with the church praying than the church preaching gets at Muslims. Because you and I are not going to preach to the Muslims. We're going to preach to you about the Muslims. Somebody's got to do something about this extremist Muslim uprising in this country. They've destroyed, they've got the whole world trembling. And we preach against it. We don't pray against it. Them old men knew that God could do what they couldn't do. You can do far more for America praying against their enemies as you can preaching against their enemies. The old men knew that. When you lose them old men, you not only lose old preaching, old praying, but you lose that old power. Nobody's got the power like an old man does. Not like an old man with a mantle. Nobody has anointing power like an old man with a mantle. He's got anointing power in him. It was Samuel that anointed Saul. It was Samuel that anointed David. They didn't get all that praying. They didn't get all that power from all their praying and all their worship. They got it from that old man. And everybody today is hunting for the power of God. I still believe it's in the hands of an old man with a mantle. It's like you don't see much of it anymore. That old power, the anointing power, and the power against the enemy. I repeat myself, but it took Saul and 3,000 men to fight the Philistines. Samuel did it all by himself. He's called on God. That old man could deal. I've listened to all the old men that have come through here for the last 25 years, and I've listened to them preach and talk about the old way. They talked to God about some of them church members that was acting a fool and trying to cause trouble. And man, they'd get up and they'd give testimony about how God run them off, God killed them, and everything else. They didn't have to preach them out the back door. You can pray them out. Them old men could do that. Saul had the fight. Samuel had the faith. And the presence of an old man is greater power than the presence of a young man. When you lose an old man, you lose that old power, no preaching, no praying. But nobody can pass away like an old man with a mantle. When Saul died, as if he'd never been anointed, nobody gathered to lament him. But when Samuel died, the old man with the mantle, all Israel gathered and all lamented him with tears. Because you missed the old man with mantles. Now I've said all that. Piano player, would you come to give you this quick, simple little invitation? Young men today are making too many mistakes to be an old man with a mantle. Young men today are committing too many sins to ever be an old man with a mantle. And young men today are quitting in difficult times to ever be an old man with a mantle. But you know what God wants to give the church? Old men with mantles. And He's got to have a young man to do it. That old man was a young man. And God needs a young man that'll get in and stay in till he becomes an old man with a mantle. Or the church is going to lose its most valuable resource. And that's an old man with a mantle. The church has got to have old men with mantles. But you got to be young once to do it. And if you don't stay in, this whole country will suffer. Somebody will. The church will. Can't nobody touch a man like an old man with a mantle. Can't nobody pray for a man like an old man with a mantle. They can't do it. And we're going to be in a meeting in another 10, 15 years. I'm just 12 years away from being 70. I'd love to be an old man with a mantle. I would. Old men with mantles need wives to stay with them. There's nothing as graceful as an old lady with a mantle. We're going to hurt without them. And we'll be blessed with them.
And turn to page 99. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our heart beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word.